Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Now, before we get into the message today, I don't want to forget, did we have any birthdays this past week? Who's that? Oh, hello. Miss Karen had a birthday this past week. Did we have any other birthdays? I think she's over the age of 12. That's as far as I'll take that one. So no money for Miss Karen. Any other birthdays? Well, no other birthdays. Let's sing happy birthday to Miss Karen. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Well, happy birthday, Miss Karen. 21 is what she said. 21 is what she's turning. That's what I always say to every lady that ever has a birthday. 21, that's where I stop. And if I'm wrong, I'm cool with that. I'm sure they are too. But as you can see today on our screen before us, the Lord has led me to, at least this morning, deviate from our study of the book of Revelation. But we will be there tonight. We will be in Revelation chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 tonight. But the Lord has led me into Psalm chapter 115 for this morning. Psalm chapter 115. And it says there, verse number 3, but we're actually going to read and cover the entire chapter. Psalm chapter 115. And when you found your place, if you're able, please stand in reverence to God's holy word. Psalm 115. Reading verses 1 through 18. And listen at verse number 1. This should be our prayer every day. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more. You and your children, ye are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. And I want to preach this morning on the thought, he is still on the throne. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity to come to your house. This opportunity this morning to come, just remind us where you're at. Just remind us, Lord, even in the midst of what we're going through in this world today. And there may be fears and worries on every side. Lord, you're still on the throne. And I pray today that you would give me the grace just to remind us of who you are, where you're at, and what you're doing. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us just to trust you more. Draw closer to you. And as we do, you give us peace in the time of trouble. Lord Jesus, if there be anybody in our presence this morning that doesn't know you, Lord, as I lift you up in my feeble way here in just a few moments, I pray, God, that you would open their eyes to their need. I pray that your presence would fall and that you would help us all get Christians nearer to you, get lost people saved today. Lord, what a miracle it would be. And the only thing we could say that it was you that did it. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me now. Lord, I know this message is all over the place, and you changed some of it even while I was in Sunday school. But I pray, Lord, that you would help me to rightly divide your word. Most of all, give you all the glory. Lord Jesus, we love you and we pray this in your holy name. Amen. You may be seated. So by way of introduction this morning, there's a question in verse number 2 that lost people all over the world, but maybe even in the time we live in today, with the unrest all over the world, with what's going on in the Ukraine right now, I've heard tell that they're talking about nuclear things right now. I mean, it's just going down and down, and it's crazy, and it's fearful, and everybody's worried. You turn on the news, it's all negativity, nothing good. And people may ask what we see in verse number 2. It says, "Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God?" And maybe that's what you're asking today. In this terrible world we're living in, where is God in all of this? But I want to encourage every person here, every believer in the room, everyone listening online or listening in the parking lot on the radio, that our God is still on the throne. With what's going on right now, it's not like he took a nap and all this happened. Now he's fumbling to try to fix it. But he has been in control and will forever be in control in everything that happens. And I want us to be, because if we're not careful and we look at everything around us and we take our eyes off of God, we can fall into the fear and worry that the world has, when we should have peace because we're trusting the one that's in control. So I want to look at this text before us. And remind us, I guess you could say, answer the question in verse number 2. As we look at, he is still on the throne. And to be honest with you, as I was studying, I got locked in on verse number 3. That was the verse, as you saw earlier, that I was going to preach on. But as I was sitting in Sunday school, I was reading over the scripture, reading the entire chapter, and I was like, there's no way I can touch verse 3 and not preach the whole chapter. There's a lot going on here. I said, I would be doing this text a disservice if I don't deal with what all is here. So you pray for me. I leaned over to Carrie and I said, I just added 17 verses to my sermon. You pray for me. That was this morning as we were in Sunday school. But as we think here, he is still on the throne. The first thing I want to point out is God's person. And in short, Jesus Christ is God. I want us to know that. I want to focus on Christ this morning. Our God, who we're going to learn is on the throne. Jesus is God. And I want to look at his person. Go with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I want to remind us who our God is. I want to remind us of what he does. I want to remind us so that when we leave these doors and we turn on the news and we see all this terribleness, we can know what God's word says about who our God is, so that we can trust him. John chapter 1. As we look at John chapter 1 verses 1 through 5. I want to point out three things specifically within that. And it won't be on the screen, so listen closely. But the first thing I want to point out is he, and I mean he as in Christ, he is pre-existent. Pre-existent. This is our God. So we see here in verse number 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So, pre-existent. In the beginning was the Word. Our God has always existed. He didn't come into existence in Bethlehem when he was born, but John chapter 1 here tells me when it says, in the beginning was the Word, in the beginning was Christ. So before time began, see, that's all we know in the world we live in today is we know in time, space, and matter. That's how we, every day we go with time. That's how we do the calendar. That's how we do all that we do. We do it with time. But Jesus existed before time began, because time began in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. But Jesus Christ, our God, existed before that time began. And he will exist for all eternity. And see, that's another reason why I believe the Lord has led me to preach this today, because today we get to really look at who God is, but tonight we get to look at his triumph in the book of Revelation. I believe that's how the Lord kind of orchestrated things here. But we see here, he is pre-existent. Our Lord, our God existed before time ever began. He was. He was with God. So we see he is pre-existent, but also we see he is co-existent. He was with God. Now, like Brother Glenn said in Sunday school this morning, we've got Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three but one. Now, how do I explain that? I'm not going to dig into those deep waters. I'm just going to trust God in what the Bible says. But we see that Jesus was in the beginning with God. He has coexisted. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So we see our God existed before time began, will exist for all eternity, and He was coexistent with God. In absolute perfection and holiness, no sin, He was with God. So He's pre-existent, He is co-existent, and He is self-existent. Look what it says, verse 3. All things were made by Him. So He didn't need to be made. He always has been. And He is the source of life, we're going to read. See, we need sunlight, and we need oxygen, and we need food, and we need water. We need things to sustain us. But our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, needs nothing to sustain Him because He is the source of life itself. It says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. See, He's the source of life, physical life and spiritual life. Our Lord is the source of life. See, this is His person, and I'm not going to dig into it because we're going to dig into it tonight, but I want to at least say the words. And He is also, and we're going to talk about it later tonight, He is omnipresent, He is omniscient, and He is omnipotent. And I'll just let whet your appetite for tonight, because we're going to see that in our text before us tonight. But this is our God, pre-existent, co-existent, self-existent, has been, always will be. He is life. He doesn't need stuff to sustain Him. He is the source of life. So we see His person, pre-existent, co-existent, self-existent. But now we go to His performance. And you can go back to our text in Psalm 115. We go to His performance, His actions. And I want to encourage us as we look at His actions, what He did for us. He has us, His children's best interest at heart. He wants the best for us. Our God does. That doesn't mean bad things won't happen, but it does mean that when they do, He's got a plan in it. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But I want you to see His love and care for you and me in what He did. Remember, He existed with God before time began in absolute perfection and holiness. Could have stayed there, could have been no less God, but He knew that if you and I were to be forgiven, If the curse of the Garden of Eden were to be reversed, somebody that was perfect and holy and righteous that could not sin had to come to this sin-cursed earth. And that's exactly what our Lord did. He saw the need. I believe He saw, because we know that He doesn't exist in past, present, future, but it's all present to Him. But He saw through the portals of time that I believe there would be an 8-year-old boy on April 10th, 2001 that would need a Savior. That night would need to be forgiven. And we see that He was willing to do what was necessary. So as we look at His performance, and this won't be on the, I've just got the main points on the outline, so listen closely. In His performance, we see His phenomenal birth, His miraculous birth. Our Lord left the portals of heaven and was placed within a virgin's womb by the Holy Ghost. And that it had to be that way, because our Lord had to be perfect if He were to be the perfect sacrifice. He could not have an earthly father, because if He had an earthly father, He would have a sin nature. So He was born miraculously, placed within Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit. And that is huge. A lot of beliefs, there's a lot of even seminaries today that deny that truth. And if you deny the truth of the virgin birth, you're denying Christianity, the biblical Christianity. Because without a holy, spotless, perfect Lord, without a sin nature, then His death meant absolutely nothing for you and me. But praise God, He did what was necessary. He came, was placed within Mary's womb, was born of a virgin, was born without a sin nature. He was born perfect, and He lived perfect. That's what we see, His phenomenal birth. Remember, my focus is we're looking at our God. I want us to be reminded who our God is and what our God's done for us. So we see His phenomenal birth, but we see His perfect life. We know that our, remember, if we are to get to heaven, we have got to be perfect if we're going to do it on our own merits. But the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, so we've missed that mark. So somebody had to be for us. So Jesus left the perfection of heaven, came to this awful earth. And you see how terrible it is today. And it was bad then when he was there as well. And it's just got worse. Like I said, I believe it was last week, we're not evolving, we're devolving. It's not getting better, it's getting worse. And I think people are really starting to grab a hold of that. But Jesus left heaven to come to this nasty earth that we know. And in the midst of all that we experience, the Bible says he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Never did anything wrong. When we fail him multiple times a day, sometimes just about every second in certain situations, we fail him. But he lived in the midst of all we've lived in perfectly. And you know why he did that? For us. He did that for you. He did that for me. He lived a perfect life. And we see his phenomenal birth. We see his perfect life. Then I want to also point out his powerful life. We see within his life, I believe, to validate who he was, to show us he was the God-man. We see all throughout the New Testament and in the Gospels, we see him performing miracles, not just for miracles' sake, but to authenticate him, the messenger, or the message, but we see his power. The Bible says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We saw God because he is God. He demonstrated his power. He performed miracles. This is our God. So he had a phenomenal birth. He had a perfect life. He had a powerful life. And praise God, he had a propitiating death. Once again, our God left heaven to come to earth to die for you and me. Our God saw a need with us that only he could meet. And he came to this earth and did what was necessary to meet that need. As we know, he was nailed to the cruel cross of Calvary. By the world, it looks like the Pharisees got what they want. Satan, I'm sure, thought that he had usurped the Lord and won the battle. But little did both of them know that that was all a part of the plan of God. It was God's plan from the beginning. The Bible says, before the foundation of the world, this plan was in place because God knew what would happen. He knew that you and I would need a Savior. So he was nailed to the cross, not against his will. He could have stopped it all if he wanted to. He wasn't forced to be there. He is God. But he knew that he had to do it. That's why when you hear the people mock him while he's on the cross, Jesus could have come off and showed them what for right there. But he knew that if they would ever have the chance to be forgiven, he had to stay there. And he even said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus died on the cross, suffering the greatest physical punishment anyone's ever suffered, and on top of that, he bore every wrong you and I have ever done. Things that no one knows anything about, Jesus bore on the cross for you. You may think, "Well, I'm outside salvation, he can't forgive me." He bore it all on the cross. All of it. He bore it all. He took our hell on the cross for us. He was separated from God for a time. Now, how does God get separated from God? I'm not going to go into that. That's another mind explosion, isn't it, Brother Glenn? But God turned his back on Christ. Christ was separated from God so that we would never have to be once we repent of our sins and place our faith in him. Jesus did all that needs to be done. There's nothing. So many people say, "Well, we've got to do. No, I mean, we could do all we want, but it's not going to get us there. He had to do what he did, and he did it. He went all the way, completed the task. So we see his propitiating death. He died on the cross. But praise God, that wasn't the end. Because if that was the end, then he would just have been a good teacher with good principles to live by. But no, he validated everything that he said. He proved that he was and is God by rising again 3 days later, just as he said he would. And because of that, when we repent of our sins and place our faith in him, all our sins are forgiven. Our sins are placed on him. His righteousness is placed on us. and we're a child, a friend of God. That's our God. That's what He did for us. I think He cares for us, don't you? And if you're here today and you're lost, He cares for you. He went to the cross for you. And if you'll call upon His name and ask Him to forgive you, He will. And I praise God for that. So we saw His person. We saw His performance. And now back to our text, we see His power. Look what it says in verse 3 of chapter 115. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. And when I mean His power, I'm talking about the delegated authority. Authority you're granted to a person or persons in a particular office or capacity. What did He say? Matthew 28, we'll talk about it tonight, I believe, if I remember correctly. He said, all power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. He's given all power, all authority. He completed the task. God gave Him what was rightfully His, and He's seated on the right hand of the throne of God. So we see here His power. First thing I want to point out is His place. It says, but our God is in the heavens. We see in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that is set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Christ is on the throne. Ever since He died, He was risen up to heaven. He's seated on the throne, and He's never left it for one moment. He's been in control the whole time. Everything we see is, it may look to us like chaos and confusion, but it's all a part of our God's plan. All of it is. That's why we've got to trust Him. Because when we look at what's going on, we're confused. But when we trust God, we have peace because He's in control and He has our best interest at heart. He wants the best for us. He wants us to be like Jesus. We've got to recognize He is the one. He's on the throne. He's in the heavens, seated where He has been and always will be, in control. And we see here not only His place, but His purview. What I mean by that, the range of operation or authority or control, concern, the range of the vision, insight, and understanding. Actually, this is, I thought it was going to be tonight, but I forgot it was right now. Matthew 28:18. All power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. That covers it all. There is no realm or area where Christ's power does not reach. He's sovereign over all things. He's sovereign over what's going on in the Ukraine right now. He's sovereign over that crazy Putin right now. He's sovereign over everything that may scare us or make us afraid or make us confused or make us worried. He's sovereign over it. He's on the throne and in control of it. It's all a part of His plan. We don't have to understand it. We just have to trust it. Trust Him. Draw near to Him. And that's what we've got to do. So we see that His power, His place. It says in heavens, His purview, heaven and earth. And now I want to talk about His plan. And largely, a lot of God's plan we don't know or understand. But God does have a plan. He's not ruling in a willy-nilly way and just by the seat of His pants and doing things. No, He's had a plan since before the world began. He's had a plan. He's in control of this thing. And you say, well, how do we go forward not knowing that plan? We just got to trust, like the Bible says in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, for My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways My ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are My ways higher than your ways, and My thoughts higher than your thoughts. We just got to trust that God knows what He's doing, has the power to do it, and that He, once again, wants the best for us. And I want us to understand He has a plan in our lives as well. And if we're children of God, that plan is to make us like Jesus. That means no matter what comes, that doesn't mean that everything's going to be a bed of roses when you get saved, because that's what a lot of people think. Well, I want to become a Christian so nothing bad will ever happen again. No, really, the closer you get to God, the more the devil fights, and sometimes the worse things get. But all of it, Christ either causes or allows to make us more like Jesus. He won't let anything happen to us that isn't a part of His plan to make us more like Christ. Because our God, and that's the next point, our God promises to protect us. We see His protection. Look at verses 9 through 11 in our text. We see here, O Israel, Trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Not he might be. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Our Lord is our protection. His protection, it's promised to us. Nothing will happen to us that doesn't first go through His fingers first. And if it's not a part of His plan to make us like Jesus, then it will not happen to us. Everything that happens to us is a part of God's plan for us. Do I fully understand that? No. But we can trust that He's doing that to make us like Christ. His protection is promised, and praise God, His protection is permanent. It's not like He protects us at some point and then leaves us and then comes back. But the Bible says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's always with us. He's always in control. And His protection will always be with us. We need to have that encouragement in the world we live in today, because as we see, I mean, can you imagine the people in the Ukraine? From one day to the next, their world was flipped upside down. But God's, for the children of God that are in Ukraine, God's protection has never left them. He's still watching over them. He's still protecting them. So we see here His protection is promised, it's permanent, and praise God, it's powerful. Remember, He's all-powerful. We'll talk about that tonight. But we see in Isaiah 54, 17, the Bible says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. And then 2 Thessalonians 3, 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Psalm 138, 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Psalm 32, 7, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. His protection over us is powerful, because He is all powerful. He protects and takes care of His children. So we see His protection. But then we see next His promise. His promise in verses 12 through 16. The Lord hath, listen to this, the Lord hath been mindful of us. I don't know you as well as you know you, but I know me. And I don't deserve for the God that rules everything to be mindful of me. But you and I are very much on His mind. Why do you think Jesus willingly came? To do what He did for you. Because He was mindful of you. He knew what you would need. So we see it says, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. In verse number 16, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath He given to the children of men. God promises to bless His children. Now, that doesn't mean, don't jump immediately to, that means God's going to make me a millionaire since I'm His child. There are so many people, when you hear bless, you think money. When you hear bless, you think that car or that TV or that job. That's not necessarily what that means. That does mean He will be with you. He will go with you. And if you will walk in submission to Him, He will bless what you do. He will bless your home. He will bless you at your job. He will bless you as you share the gospel. He'll bless me as I preach, as I pastor. His hand will be on what we do, and it will prosper for the glory of God and His kingdom. That's what He wants. He wants to bless. And sometimes it may mean money, but that's not why we're in this thing. We're in this thing to honor God. And we can trust He's going to take care of us. He's going to meet our needs. He's going to bless us. So we see His promise. In number 7, we see His people. Look what it says, verse number 3. But our God. Who's the our? It is those that have been made alive by Jesus Christ. Once I talked about earlier, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us. Every person, if you've been born of woman, and everyone has, if you've been born into this world, you're born a sinner. And if you've committed one sin, that's enough to knock you out of going to heaven. And because of that, we're dead. Spiritually dead in our trespass and sin. What did the Bible say? If thou eat of the fruit thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, Adam and Eve didn't physically die right away. Now, they later did physically die, but they immediately spiritually died and became separated from God. And somebody without God, they're like it describes in verse number 8, they that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusted in them. Those people that trust in idols, their idols are dead. They're fake, they're not real, and they're dead in their trespasses and sins as well. But Jesus came so that you and I could be made alive. Remember, He's the source of life, physical life. You are breathing God's air right now. He is causing you to breathe the air that you're breathing. But not only does He give and sustain physical life, He wants to give you spiritual life. He wants you to make somebody where He is your God. Because right now, if you're not a child of God, He's not your God. He is God, but He's not your God. He's not your Father. You're His enemy. You're not His friend. You're at enmity with God because of your sin. But because of what Jesus did, if you'll repent of your sins, place your faith in Christ, He will forgive you. He will make you alive. And then you can say, but our God is in the heavens because He's your God. The God that we've talked about. If you're saved by His grace, He's your God. That's who our God is. Our God is alive. Our God. I thank God for that. There's a lot of gods that are mentioned in the world today. There's a song, I'm not going to sing it, but it talks about, I walked by the tomb of Buddha, looked inside and saw his bones. I walked by to see Muhammad, and it talks about he was still laying there. But I walked to a tomb, and it was empty because our God is alive. He was not just a good person, but He's alive today. He's on the throne today. He's in control today. And He can give you life today if you'll let Him. And then He can be your God. Those are His people. Those who He has made alive. He is their God. If you're saved, He's your God. He's my God. So we see His people. And I want to close with number 8. His praise. See, when we look at God, who He is, what He's done, as a child of God, it should motivate you to praise Him. As we read verse 1 and verse 17 and 18, specifically verse number 1, this should be our prayer every day. When you wake up, this should be your prayer. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. That should be our goal. Lord, as I go to work, not unto me, but unto thy name get glory. As you're doing what you do, say, God, get glory for you through me today in what I'm doing, because He's worthy of it. He's worthy of our praise. It isn't I don't feel like worshiping Him today, so I'm not going to. No, He's worthy whether we feel like it or not. Even if He hadn't saved us, He's worthy of our praise because of who He is. He's holy, He's righteous, He's just, He's on the throne, He's in control, and He will forever be. And we see in verses 17 and 18, the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. That's what we should strive to do with our lips, but also with our life. Let's be encouraged and reminded today as we look at this is who our God is. And let's ask Him for the grace to live for Him and praise Him and glorify Him with our life, because He's worthy of it. He's worthy of our praise. Not if all we do is praise Him with our lips and with our hands in church, that's the shallowest form of worship. The deepest, best kind is worshiping Him with our life. He's worthy of it. This is our God. That's our God. He's still on the throne, and He will forever be. Be encouraged with that today. As you turn on the news today and you hear the terrible things that are going on, be reminded, Christ is on the throne. He's in control. He has your best interest at heart. And everything that has or will happen to you is working together for your good and His glory to make you like Christ. Nothing, even the most minute things, nothing happens by accident. All of it's according to His plan. Trust Him And he'll give you peace no matter what you face. Praise God, he's still on the throne. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity to preach your word. Hope this message has been an encouragement to these people, as much of an encouragement to them as it has been to me to prepare it and to preach it. Lord, please help us to keep our eyes on you and not on the storms around us. And as we do that, Lord, we'll have peace. The devil wants us to fear. He wants us to be worried. He wants us to lose focus, because he knows if we do, we will not be effective for you. But help us in this dark world we live in to focus on you, our God. I praise your holy name that you are my God. I only love you because you first loved me. And I praise your holy name for that. I praise your name because that you're alive. You're not some dead God that used to be, but you are and will forever be. And Lord, we praise your holy name this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Miss Mary begins to play, every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you just want to come to the altar today and just praise the Lord. Worship him. Our prayers don't always have to be asking. Our prayers, more often than not, should be prayers of praise and worship and glory and honor for him. Don't leave today without giving him glory. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. Don't leave today without making things right. He did all that needs to be done. All he asks is that you ask him to forgive you of your sins, save your soul, and he will do it. Praying, the altar's still open. Don't miss the opportunity just to come say thank you. He's worthy of it. All day, every day. If all we got done for the rest of our lives and all eternity was just praising him, we still wouldn't give him what he's worthy of. So we got a lot of catching up to do. People are still praying, the altar's still open. Up this way. Thank you all for your kind attention today. Hope that was an encouragement to you. That's who our God is. He's always and will be in control. Trust him. Be like that one man, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Say, God, help me to trust you more. Help me to do better. And as we do, he'll give us peace. Remember, you can't worry and trust at the same time, but when you trust, he'll take away the worry. Our God's on the throne and in control. And come back tonight, and we're going to look at his victory. We're going to be reminded before we really get into the book of Revelation, he wins. He's going to reign victorious through all eternity. And I don't want to preach the message yet. I've got it done and I could, but I'm not going to. Come back tonight at 6 p.m. We'll look at his triumph, Revelation chapter 1 verses 7 and 8. Thank you once again for your kind attentions. Anybody have anything on your heart before we be dismissed this morning? Yes, sir.
Said something several times.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. Nothing catches him by surprise, does it, brother? He's in control of all of it. Yes, sir. Amen. Yep. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss tonight, church. It's the good of God not to wait till the end of the book to give us the good stuff. Now, I don't want to get into that, because a lot of novels do that, but not the Bible. Anything else before we be dismissed? Yes, ma'am.